Fish.
Fish.
You got that.
Get ready.
Yeah, here, boy, you come, got it.
You. Get him.
That's a bass.
Keep the rod tip high. Is he on there?
Yeah.
Stay tight to him. Walk him back. Play him with the waves, you know what I mean? Use the wave. When he gets in close, that's where you lose them all. Stay tight to him. Where's the fish? Striper!
Welcome to Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It. I am your host, Ben Sargent, and we are fishing today with Dean Ween from Ween, the band, or Mickey, as he likes to be called. And so far, we got one little striper, so we're not skunked. And that's all I can tell you. The best is yet to come.
Have you ever lost a pole?
Yeah, we got it back too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a great story, actually. We went to film a fishing episode offshore for bluefin tuna.
Yeah.
We went out and we just got shit-faced.
Yeah.
Just like, absolutely like blackout drunk.
Yeah.
Didn't catch a fucking thing, trolling all day. Like out of, you know, way offshore. We came back and I was too wasted to drive home. And so Nick and I are at his house. It's like, let's go surf casting. So we had a bottle of Jameson, and we came out, bought some clams. We put out two rods, and we're just sitting in the sand like we couldn't get anything happening. We were just so drunk, and this guy comes along with his puppy. We're sitting there playing with his puppy all wasted, like the guy's looking at us like, I thought there's a bottle there. And turns around and he walks away, and I look, and my rod is gone, my spike is gone, and there's a drag mark from there leading into the surf. I was like, Nick, look, you know. He's like, holy shit. So he reels his line in and he starts fan casting, you know.
Yeah, every
arc. He's like on his fifth cast and he's like, I think I got something. And he's like reeling it. And like out there, like in the third breaker, you see my rod tip come out of the water. He reeled over my line and it connected with the rod. He's like, you gotta go get it. He's like, because if I lose it, you know. So I go in, all my clothes, no waders on or anything. Drunk, out, I'm falling down in the surf. He's like laughing his ass off. Get out there, get my rod, and dragging it back in. It's one of these Shimano bait runners, and the reel is packed with sand.
Yeah.
I can't even like get one revolution on the fucking, on the reel. It's like a coffee grinder. Like reel, all of a sudden, fucking come tight, and
no
the fish is
way.
Hooked.
Still
the fish
on.
Is hooked.
Unbelievable.
So I'm like, and we landed him. We landed the fish.
Unbelievable.
It's like.
And got your rod back.
And got the rod and the reel back.
Wow. That's crazy.
But yeah, it was just gone. Just a big drag mark.
That's awesome.
There's a guy who lives down by where my place is in Long Beach Island, the Holgate, named Rocky, that I fish with a lot.
Yeah.
And he had the same thing happen, and it was like a Loomis rod and a Shimano Stella. It was like a, you know, like a $2,000 outfit. And he went to the tackle shop and he told him the story and whatever, and someone on the radio comes on later that day, and one of the boats are like, you're not gonna believe this. We just caught a fish with a Loomis rod and a Stella attached to it, like, you know, like 8 miles offshore.
Like, that's my buddy.
And the guy gave him his whole rig back.
Really?
Yep. He got his entire thing back.
That's awesome. That's hard to prove. Yeah, that's my rod, man. I know it is.
No, he called all the tackle shops.
Oh, really?
And said, you know,
if anyone. Oh, that's wild.
The best fishing story I have for you is great. We, like, the whole commercial fleet runs out of Point Pleasant. You know, it's like the main commercial port in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And we fish the party boats all the time, so we know all the captains and all the mates. And one of the guys on the boat you know, you put your fish in the cooler, and at the end, the mate cleans them all for you. One of the guys on the boat tells the mate, he's like, here, take my phone and put it in the mouth of the fish, he goes. And when you're filleting it, say like, oh, there's this, you know, there's a phone. And I found a phone in the fish's belly, like it fell overboard and a fish ate it. So he tells the guy like, oh my, holy shit, look at this. He's got the phone, he's got it all covered in fish guts and whatever. Well, it ended up in the newspaper, and it was like a lie. It was like on the news.
That just grew and grew
and it grew and it grew until the story was that the guys dropped his phone overboard and someone caught the fish and the phone was still working and on when the mate filleted it in the belly. And it just grew and grew. It was like on all the regional fishing forums, and then it got copied and pasted into like South Florida fishing forums.
Right. And there's no.
But it was in the Asbury Park Press. It was in the newspaper.
Oh man.
And all he did was just put the phone in the fish's mouth and go like, holy shit, you know, like he's got like a carcass of a fish.
That's awesome.
And it wasn't any of them that started it. It just grew out of that. Like the story got told until it got published.
It's crazy.
Like everybody in that bar, there's a bar right there. It's like the saltiest bar on the East Coast, the Broadway.
Was in
on it.
Yep. How come this rod down here, does it just have more action or is it the spot? Because it always looks like it's kind of...
I don't know. There's more current there. If we get a big fish, that's the one we want it on though. Uh-huh. Conventional reel. Uh-huh. It's like a winch.
Right.
I can't believe we haven't had more action yet.
Well, like you said, if there's one out here.
Even a swing and a miss, you know?
Yeah. With the octopus, what is it? It just kind of doubles back on itself?
No, that's an octopus circle.
Oh, okay.
It looks like it's got a hangnail or something.
Uh-huh.
I don't like to use them for doing this. I like to use that with live bait, but the idea is that less fish get gut hooked.
I see.
What it does is you don't set on the fish, you just start reeling.
Yeah.
And the hook catches them in the corner of the mouth 99 out of 100 times and it just turns.
Uh-huh.
But I don't like them because your natural instinct is to set on a fish when it hits. And you want to fucking cross its eyes, you know, and bury that hook. And if you do that with a circle, you'll miss them every single time.
Huh.
But with live bait, it's really good because they gobble the whole... They swallow, you know, stripers like
gulp.
They just swallow the entire thing, and then you end up with very, very, very rarely do you gut hook a fish.
Okay.
With a circle.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. If you have your choice, would you rather be out on the ocean or on the river?
Oh, on the ocean.
Really?
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean. You just bring, everything is in play when you're in the ocean, you
right?
Know? You don't, you know, crazy shit can happen, you know.
What got you, like, at what point did you go, I think I could do this, like for real, like, be a guide?
I had a, we toured in, like, 2007, I'll say, for like 18 months, pretty much. When we finished up, it was winter time. And I knew that we had a long time off. And I'd always wanted to see if I could pass the exams and get my captain's license with the Coast Guard.
Right.
So I had a whole winter with nothing to do, nothing to fish. So I did it at home, actually. I studied at home and I went to the library every day for like a whole winter and I'd charts, you know, and I learned how to do chart plotting and navigation and all that stuff, and it just gave me something to do for the winter. It was like a challenge, and I took the exam and I passed it on my first try.
That's awesome.
And
I didn't know it was that in depth of a test. It's pretty serious.
Yeah, it's a 4-part test.
Huh.
The one part you have to get 90% or higher on.
Wow.
the rules of the road. It's called.
Right.
And then as far as like chart plotting and navigation and stuff, there's only one way to do it, and that's the right way.
Uh-huh.
It's just neat to know. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
do you use that
I don't
at
have
all?
Any char- no, I have a GPS like everybody else, you know?
Right.
But I know how to do it, though.
Right, right. Huh. That's wild.
It was fun. I enjoyed the whole process of it. And,
yeah.
You know, now I can, you know, if I move to South Florida someday, I could, like, take tourists, you know, on a boat.
Yeah.
Like, not even fishing. I could just take them from here to the, I have my captain's license.
Right,
you know,
right. That's pretty awesome.
Or I could drive a tug, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. Huh.
Something, but, You know, basically it just gives me an excuse to fish.
Yep, yep.
My wife thinks I'm actually working, you know. I tell her I'm guiding a lot. I'm just alone.
Now, does she tour with you?
No, no.
No, and your kid doesn't, obviously, so.
No.
How do you, between fishing and, I can't imagine you have a lot of time for, like.
I'm home a lot.
You are?
Yeah, plus it's a seasonal thing. Like, right now we're right at, like, we're right smack dab in the middle of the striper run.
Right.
You know, so it's not this way all year.
Yeah.
I leave, you know, April, May, and then to the middle of June are like, you know, I've been fishing. I fished 15 days in a row at one point in April.
It's awesome. Does your kid fish?
I take him out with me fishing a lot. He's 9 years old, so his patience is pretty, his attention span is like, I'll take him out if I fished here 2 days in a row,
yeah,
and 2 days in a row at the same time, I caught like 50 fish, I'll take him on the third day, you know? It's like a slam dunk. If I'm out just doing recon and just trying to like, you know, put together a pattern, he has no patience for that.
Yeah.
I take him out catfishing a lot in the river, which is a lot of fun because they get huge and they fight really hard and they're just so easy to find, you know?
Yeah.
And you catch tons of them. I'll just go to the supermarket and I'll get chicken livers. Okay. I'll take them out and I'll just let them catch catfish one after another.
Do they get pretty big up there?
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus with the current of the river.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't give a shit what kind of fish he's catching. It doesn't matter. He doesn't.
Right. How big would you say? Yeah. A big
just fish.
Right.
We get like 15 pound channel catfish.
Wow.
You know, there's flatheads in there too. I've never caught a giant one, but they're in there.
Yeah, like do people ever get pissed off if they're just pulling in bluefish?
No.
They don't mind.
You know, it depends on their level of experience. Bluefish can be a drag when you're on a boat.
Right.
You know, but from the surf, it's like, you know, like I said, I love them. I've never had, like I said, I have people that don't, they're not going to eat the fish, so they don't care one way or the other.
So long as it's fun.
You know.
Yeah.
Catch, like I say, like a 15 pound bluefish fights like a 40 pound striper.
Right.
Or better, maybe even. You know, so.
Yeah, because those big stripers, they get lazy, don't they? They're like grandpas.
Yeah. Well, they're opportunists, definitely. they're like an easy meal.
Right. Right. Well, that one's dancing around too now.
No. Mine's playing tricks on you.
Yep.
Now I get, you know, if you get someone that's meat fishing and they're out there because they want to catch their limit and eat it, you know, then bluefish becomes kind of a drag. But.
Right. And do you what do? You fillet them for the guys if they?
No,
they just bring them home.
Just take it. Yeah.
Just take it home. Right.
Sure. No, I'm not a full service operation.
Right.
I give him a contractor's garbage bag with ice.
There you go.
that's the service I provide.
Right. Right. Do you have a lot of repeat customers? Are they like?
I have some. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
What would you rather be doing, fishing or playing music?
I'd rather be fishing.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Although I get the same thing out of both of them.
Right.
It's like, I'm not really thinking about anything else when I'm doing each thing.
Right.
You know? My brain is just turned off to everything, the action of these rods.
Right.
And guitar plays the same way. I don't even realize, you know, just standing there on a stage or whatever.
Right.
Just getting sucked into it. It's good. It's nice to have two things in life. That
that's amazing. I don't think most people even have one that'll do that for them.
Do you enjoy the touring part still or no? Not so much?
No.
That sucks, right?
It sucks.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I like the playing part of Torrey. Ask anybody will tell you the same thing. It's like the playing part of, there's 24 hours in the day though, and you're only active for 2.5 hours of the day doing, the rest of it is spent
bullshit
sitting around in the Holiday Inn Express next to the TGI Fridays.
So depressing.
Out on the interstate, you know?
Right. God.
I have a travel rod. I take my stuff with me and I fish on tour, so.
That's awesome. And do you guys do all U.S. tours or are you doing Europe tours as well? What's your...
No, well, this year, this summer, we're touring the U.S. We're doing a lot of festivals and stuff like that. But yeah, no, we tour Australia, New Zealand, Japan, Europe. I mean...
They like you in Japan?
Yeah, they like us in Japan. We have a small following. Australia is where we really have it going. Australia, New Zealand.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Huh. And I don't know if this is you or if this is the band, but you guys are such an eclectic, like, the sound and, like, everything's, like, constantly changing, which makes you guys awesome, but it's also, like, for people who are trying to, like, pin you down as, like, what you are, it's hard, right?
Well, that's their job, not mine.
But, I mean, were you, as like, growing up as a kid, were you always just into, like, tons of different genres of music?
Yeah, it's a reflection of how we listen to music. Yeah. I mean, I love everything, you know, if it's good. I mean, I love Frank Sinatra, and I love Slayer, and I love Duke Ellington, and, you know, the Butthole Surfers.
Right. Did you grow up in a music family, or?
Not really. My family has really good taste in music.
Yeah.
But, no, nobody played anything, and nobody, I just found it on my own, you know?
And then did you ever want to, like, was having a band a dream, or that just kind of happened?
No, it happened to us, it happened to us really quickly. Like, right out of high school, we got signed.
Wow.
And there was never any time to really analyze it and think about it. We were doing it, and we were really passionate about it.
Yeah.
You know, right after the summer we graduated from high school, we got an apartment, and we just did nothing but record all the time, you know.
That's wild.
Yeah, just here we are 26 years later.
That's awesome. And the band's pretty tight still? You guys are friends?
Oh,
all friends?
Yeah. We all hang out together. We're all local.
Yeah.
We play in a lot of different other bands together.
Right,
you know?
Right. And what is, like, Jersey your biggest following, or what's your, like?
No. The U.S.
U.S.
You know?
All over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. It's awesome. Awesome. So if you could be doing anything music wise, would it just be sitting at home writing stuff and playing, or do you like the studio, or what's the
I prefer I'm kind of in a weird headspace these days because I really like making records, and I think Ween really likes making records, and nobody's buying records anymore. You know, they're not buying CDs anymore.
Right.
Everything is you know, digital now.
Right.
And you know, we still think about our records in terms of the whole record. Like, we've never really had singles. You know.
Right. It's like a book.
And you know, taking the time to make the cover art reflect the music.
Awesome.
and making the order, the song sequence good, and all that, and then you know. Like, we worked on our last record for like a year and a half, and you know, we go out and I don't know how many CDs it sold, but I know that we played for more people in like the first 2 weeks of the tour than we sold CDs.
Really?
You know, it doesn't, one thing doesn't carry to the other one.
Yeah.
So now, after all the touring we've done now, it's like, I would have thought that at this point that we would be getting away from touring and concentrate. We'd tour more selectively and make records.
Mm.
And now it's turned out to be just the opposite. All the rules have changed.
Right, right.
You know?
Huh.
So, yeah, I was a little frustrated with the experience of the last record, just the amount of time we put on. I thought it was a great record. And you know, like I said, you know, people, they don't even lie to you. They just tell you, like, oh, yeah, I downloaded it, you know.
Thinking that'll make you happy, but no. And is there, I don't know, like, in terms of your, like, the bullshit that you have to put up with in music, is there, are you getting away from that? Is it, or do you always
still
have
to
deal
with it? Yeah, I mean, yeah, over the years, Now, over the years, we've gotten to where we can pick and choose our spots and what we're comfortable with doing. Yeah. We don't do press anymore, you know, unless it's something, you know, that makes a lot of sense to do.
Right.
But, you know, we get to sort of pick our spots now and do what we're comfortable with, you know.
Right. Because as a fisherman, like I would think you're more of a recluse than most musicians.
Yeah, definitely. Well, plus we never moved out of the town we grew up in, you know. Mm-hmm. I love where we live. It's right on the Delaware.
Right.
The ocean is right here.
Right.
You know, I have to be near water, but there was never a moment when we were going to move to the city or LA or somewhere where it probably would have helped us career-wise.
Right.
No, I don't know a lot of people in bands.
Right.
We won't open up for anybody, you know. We don't take opening bands with us.
Yeah. And do you guys all have the attachment to the ocean, or is that more your thing?
Glenn fishes a lot, our keyboard player. Yeah, he'll fish. I mean, not like, you know, not like I do, but Glenn likes to fish. I fish with Glenn a lot.
Okay. I probably owe you some
money. We've made a couple records down here, actually, where we rented out houses in the winter.
Oh, really? And done it there?
Yeah. And so I can recall a bunch of times where the whole band was out here doing this, throwing clams to stripers.
Oh, man.
Eating fish dinners
at
the house.
Awesome. What were you guys up to last night when I was trying to sleep? I was...
We had some chemical difficulties last night.
You guys didn't end up with any slinky dresses or TVs that you bought off the TV?
It's you know, it's like this phase you go through. Like, there's like bad drunks that like the first thing they do is get on the phone. You know, I'm over that. I don't send any bitter emails to people when I've been drinking, or like get on the phone and tell them how much I love them or whatever. But I do have a tendency to call the home shopping network.
Yeah, you guys were going for dresses, rings, bracelets.
It's just a contest to see how long you can keep the person
keep
on the end of the line. Like how high their tolerance is.
I'm dropping this call. I heard that a few times.
Yeah.
I have to let you go. Oh, man.
I want to see a knockdown. I want to see a real knockdown. I want to hear drag screaming. I want that rod to be bent over to the real seat.
I was out one time in Cape Cod when the breakers were like really coming in right at the shore. And I had a pair of waders, but I had boots on.
Uh-huh.
No, it was my grandfather's waders. And they got stuck.
Oh, suctioned in.
Dude, I was all by myself. It was just like this. There was nobody on the beach. And I couldn't move.
I fell in the river one time. I was striper fishing.
Yeah.
Right below this dam. And I walked up.
Ooh. Oh, that looked
good. That got my attention.
That was nothing? That looked good.
No.
Come on.
But, I fell in. I didn't have the belt on like this.
Yeah.
I fell in, and it's like being weighed down with cement.
Yeah.
Just went right to the bottom of the river. Scariest thing in the whole world.
So scary. So scary. What happened to me is I was stuck, and then all of a sudden the waves were actually coming in over my head. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm going to die right here.
I have the utmost respect for the ocean and any body of water, even the river.
Yeah.
You know, you just get... What'll happen is we'll get into fish at low tide.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get out on the sandbar, mm-hmm. and we'll be casting to the pocket of fish. Mm-hmm. And you get so lost in what you're doing, the tide comes back in, and there's a trough between you and the shore. You get stuck out on the sandbar. That's really scary.
Yeah.
You're walking along, and then all of a sudden, whoomp!
Right.
Next step is a 3-foot drop.
Do you use GPS to bring your, like, if the fog rolls in and stuff like that, do you have to?
I try and not be in that situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have my inlet for sure is set on my GPS.
Huh. That is so scary, man.
I just try and not, if there's a small craft warning or something, I just don't even play around with it. I stay away. We saw a boat sink in Virginia Beach, striper fishing this winter. They had a, there was a fitting or something missing in the through hull, and it was like, you know, it was like 29 degrees outside. And we heard the Mayday call. We saw the Coast Guard chopper come in, and a boat came and got the guys off. But the whole day we were fishing, I was watching that boat, just the pulpit was sticking out, bobbing. There's igloo coolers all around, it's floating, all this shit from the boat. It was like, I don't want no part of that. Yeah. There's nothing about this that I don't like. I mean, we got like the perfect sort of crappy day, which stripers seem to love. We're in a perfect spot here. We got deep water, surf's all churned up. Wind is out of the east, northeast it feels like a little bit, which is great. So we just need the fish to comply. I think we've been on a bad tide. I think it's gonna turn and we're gonna be into more fish. That's my prediction, but I'm an optimist.
And we've got that lucky clam on there too.
And I have my lucky clam on there.
Do you find that, like, you know, different years, different tides will work better than others, or, you know?
I like to fish. I mean, the honest to God truth is that you can catch fish on any tide. I mean, there's people, you know, if you ask 10 people, you might get, you know, a bunch of different answers.
Right.
I like fishing the incoming tide
because
there's the most water. I like to fish 2 hours before the incoming.
Okay.
And then a couple hours into the high tide.
Okay.
Because there's more water. At low tide, though, it's easier to see the structure. These fish, striped bass are like any other kind of bass. They love structure. You find structure, you're going to find the fish.
Right.
Because they're ambush predators.
Uh-huh.
So when you're on an open beach like this, the structure you're dealing with isn't like your traditional thing, like a dock or a stump or whatever. It's the contours of the ocean floor. At low tide, you can see the structure better.
Okay.
You can see that's the sandbar. This is the hole.
Right.
You know, that's the other sandbar.
So we're literally set up like on a hole right now.
Yeah, we're set up. There's deep water right there.
Yeah.
Right in front of us.
Yeah.
You can see there's no waves breaking.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right.
That's the outer sandbar out there.
Yeah.
And the reason they'll do that is that bait fish will get washed in. And they get caught in all the water that comes in from the ocean, it's got to go out somewhere.
Sure.
You know? So it comes out, it's going to go out here. That's the cut between the sandbars. And the bait fish will get disoriented as they're getting washed out. The bass will sit there and they'll pick them off as they come through. That's why we're fishing where we're fishing.
Right.
And at low tide, it's easier to see the structure and find your spot, you know? At high tide, it all looks the same. There's just waves crashing everywhere.
Right.
But if you know that this hole is here, you mark it, you know, put a coffee can or something in the dunes so you can find it again, or mark it on your GPS. Then even at high tide, this is a good spot, you know.
And all the erosion that we're seeing, is that all like storm?
Yeah, this is just from the storm. It's not normally like that. When it comes out, anytime it comes out of the east, like it has been, you'll get massive erosion. I mean, we've had it here where, you know, it's all the way up to the dune fence, and there's a 6-foot drop. You can't even come out here. It's too dangerous.
Really?
You know?
Yeah. And is there any explanation for the why the incoming versus the outgoing tide?
You know, I don't really care if it's incoming or outgoing as much as I want it to be moving, you know?
Okay.
I don't like it at dead low or dead high or whatever. Right. As long as it's moving, as long as the water is moving.
Yeah.
You know, those are your best chances to fish, to catch fish.
Right.
For some reason, the last 2 weeks, all the fish have been taken on the low water, you know?
Huh.
So.
And do you know most of the fishermen around here?
Well, no, there's a lot, but yeah, I know the regulars, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do they give you credit as a guide?
I don't ever identify myself as one being of in a band or yeah. whatever. I mean,
yeah.
no, you know, it's important. It's important to have a network of people. You yeah. know, tackle shops are really, right. really important.
Right.
You know, to give your business to a good tackle shop
uh-huh.
where they'll give you honest, reliable info, and you share it with them, and you call them, and you say, you know, hey, it's going off. You know, it's going off here right,
right.
now, and you know.
Yeah. Huh.
You know, I wouldn't share that information on the internet.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't.
right.
I don't want people to know exactly what I'm doing. But,
sure, sure.
But right. no, I have a group of you know whatever 50 or 100 friends that are in, as into it as I am. You know,
right.
and we talk literally every day. You know,
was it ever like? Was it ever? Any like I mean I don't know is it like you have to break into the circle I mean I guess because you've grown up around here it's not as hard but like certain places I think it would be tough to just be like oh I'm gonna guide now and they're like what
yeah yeah I don't pimp my guide service that hard
right.
you know what I mean
right.
You know I'm not trying to take anybody's business. There's enough.
Yeah.
There's enough for everybody. You know, it's
yeah.
if I ran a party boat or something, that's a little different.
Sure.
But you just got to be careful. You know, striper trip on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to get out with any captain around here for less than $600 for a half day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that you don't want to piss everybody off and charge $400. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Right. Right.
Kind of like
there's a standard.
Just do your own thing. You know.
yeah.
Don't be obnoxious about it,
yeah.
you know. But no, I have two friends at home that guide that I talk to every day on the river,
right.
you know, and we refer people to one another. If I'm booked, I have no problem giving my charter to one of the other guys,
yeah.
You know, and vice versa.
Right.
You know, like I said, we share a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really important to have honest.
Yeah.
Reliable info,
right.
you know?
Right.
Huh. Without giving away your spots and
right.
you know.
Yeah.
But
Could you support yourself as a fisherman if that was your one gig?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's you know, I have one of my best friends is Captain Chris Gatley.
Uh-huh.
Probably one of the best fishermen up in this whole corridor,
mm-hmm.
and he does ocean and the river. And you know, I learned so much from him. He and I were housemates a long, long time ago, and we used to fish together. And he took it to the next level.
Right.
And that's what he does. But he's taken it as far as you can go. He writes for ESPN Outdoors.
Wow.
You know, you see him on the cover of Saltwater Sportsman.
Mm-hmm.
He does the seminars and lecture circuits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's booked solid, and he can barely make a living at it. You know,
really,
and it's just really, really expensive. You know,
yeah.
you're looking at,
yeah.
you know, I mean, even for you know, my boat holds 100 gallons. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's probably going to go above $4 this summer. You
wow.
know, I mean, how do you make any money? You know,
right. So what does it cost you to take the boat out? Just for a day, like forget what the people have to pay.
I would have to figure out what I paid for my boat. I'd have to
yeah.
figure out, you know, $3,000 for my slip every
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
You know, I use all quality rods and reels and
right.
tackle. You know, you would have to sit down and like, you know, you'd have to look at a whole year.
Yeah.
So what I started doing is I take the money that I make from guiding and I opened up a separate checking account for
mm-hmm.
it. Whenever I buy anything
mm-hmm.
fishing related, even if it's gas or a bag of ice, I put it on there. So,
because okay.
this year I want to see
right.
exactly how much I've lost.
exactly.
And believe me, it's a losing.
It's a losing
know,
battle.
It's a losing thing, you know. you know,
yeah.
yeah. I go through like 4 tanks of gas a week in that expedition.
Wow.
You know.
Yeah. Huh.
So I don't know. I could support myself if I moved down here and I like streamlined everything and ran it like a business,
right,
you know.
Right.
I don't really I enjoy it. It's something that I enjoy, and when I'm doing it a lot, it's great. I always have a pocket full of cash from guiding, and that's really nice. You know.
Cool. Yeah. Do you let people drink out on the boat and that kind of a thing, or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you listen to music while you fish?
No, I don't.
I hate that.
I don't. I can't stand it. And as a matter of fact, when I'm river fishing, I cannot stand when I have someone on my boat that's shuffling around and making a lot of noise.
Right.
Because the big bass in our river didn't get to be big by being stupid.
Yeah.
You know, I turn off my sounder even.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that they can hear that fucking depth finder.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, if I want my drift to start here, you know, I go up there and I kill the motor. I don't want them to have any. I want to ambush those shits.
Right.
I get people on the boat on cell phones and walking around. And
what do you tell them? You just explain it to them?
No, you know, they paid for it. You know, but I'll just tell them. You know, if depends what they want. If they want to catch fish, you know. I'll pick up on that vibe you know, if they're really, really into it. And if they want to just spend the day with the dude from Ween, then fuck them, you know.
Have you ever gotten any requests? Like, can you bring your guitar out?
I won't do anything like that for anybody.
That'd be hilarious. I think it's really tough, though. Like, people who are... you know, trying to reinvent themselves or trying to do something that's completely and totally unrelated to what it is. It's hard because you're coined like as a musician. It's never been a problem.
I don't ever talk about the band in any setting.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't talk about it.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Not for, you know, but
you'd rather talk fish than talk.
We're fishing,
But if I don't know. I feel like the one thing I can say is I've been out on those party boats. Well, not even the party boats, even just the charter, and the beers start flowing, and then the music's cranked, and I'm like, this doesn't really feel like fishing to me. This feels
sometimes
like something...
when you know it's going to be like that, it can be a lot of fun, especially if it's like a bluefish party boat where it's just a massacre. You know, it's like the boat's going to catch 1,200 fish.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You know, giant chum slick, and it's just every drop you're hooked in the bluefish.
Right.
I love those nighttime party boat bluefish trips.
Yeah.
You know.
And you fish with eels too? You ever fish with the?
I don't fish with the eels. No. I mean, the eels are. A striper can't resist an eel, there's no doubt about it, but they're such a pain in the ass.
Oh, they're such a pain in the ass.
You get that giant eel ball wrapped around your line.
And,
a striper cannot resist an eel, there's no doubt about it. It's like number one on the list.
Right.
To me, it's just totally not worth it, though.
Yeah.
I don't fish in the bays very much. I like to be out front in the ocean, so I don't really do the drifting eels thing, but...
I met these cool guys who... they are like the last sort of commercial fishermen in the Brooklyn and Queens.
Uh-huh.
And they go out and they catch bait.
Oh, yeah.
They're bait fishermen.
Sure.
And it's amazing that they're still fishing like right by JFK.
If we were on the boat today.
Yeah.
I'd have my cast net.
Uh-huh.
I'd be throwing the cast net.
Yep. And how does that work? You just set it out?
Well, you wait till you find the bunker and the birds.
Yeah.
You know, you throw it and you fill up your live well with bunker, you know.
So you don't always buy your bait. You try and catch most of
it. I don't buy bait for the boat ever.
Oh, really?
Just for surf casting.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, we fish lures or we catch, you know. Yeah. When they're on something, that's what they want. And you're not going to...
So you don't do any trolling?
No, I was telling him earlier. I despise trolling.
Me too.
Any kind of trolling.
It sucks.
But it's a means to an end if you can't find anything anywhere
because
you're covering so much ground, you know?
Right. Scariest sea experience?
My scariest on the water experience actually wasn't in the ocean. I was striper fishing last spring in the Delaware River, like up in Trenton. And I had three guys on my boat, and I had a tub I used as a live well for the herring.
Uh-huh.
Like a big 50-gallon drum filled with water and herring. So I had like, 650 extra pounds on my boat. And my buddy was guiding that day, and he was catching fish north of us up in the rocks. So he goes, follow me up. So I follow him, and I'm following his line. We're running through rocks, through the rapids.
Yeah.
But I got all this extra weight on board, and I can't keep up with him. And he's not turning around to see that I'm falling back. So I start to lose his line. So we're driving, and we start banging off these big can opener rocks that are just like this far below the surface. And the boat is getting hammered so hard, and I start to think, like, I'm going to rip the lower unit off my motor, you know?
Yeah.
So finally we hit one too many, and I was like, fuck this. The boat turns around sideways. We just start drifting down, and I get wedged between two rocks sideways. And the bow of the boat is caught like this, where the bow is sticking down, and the river is flowing over.
Yeah.
Into the boat. So we're gonna sink, you know, right. we're stuck. So we actually had to get out of the boat in the middle of the river, like in the channel, like, and dump the herring tub overboard. Mm-hmm. So I got all these guys in the middle of a river, scared to death, and we took the oars out of the boat, and we popped the boat out from the rocks. We were able to pry it loose. It was after being stuck for like 10 minutes, taking on water. And we had to jump back in the boat after it broke loose as it was floating away. And I couldn't, I was sore the next day from the fear and the adrenaline rush of it. Like I was so tensed up.
Oh.
But I thought we were done for. That was, you know, that's one of those things you only want to have happen to you once before
right.
you learn your lesson.
Right.
But,
wow.
So, you know, I sunk a boat one time in the river.
Really?
I had, you ever hear of the band Caius? It was before Queens of the Stone Age, they were Caius. And Caius was in town, they're friends of mine, and Scott Reeder, the bass player. I took them, they played in the city, and I took them back to New Hope. And we were drinking tequila, and we were a mess. So I was like, come on, let's go out for a boat ride. It was like 3 a.m, so we take out my John boat. We're out in the river just drinking and bullshitting. He stands up all drunk to take a leak over the side, and I'm watching him, and he's going like this. The next thing I know, like, whoop, he like flips out of the boat.
Hold up.
You good? So next thing I know, he flips out of the boat. I just see his feet and hear the big splash. And I'm laughing my ass off because it's funny, you know, it's the funniest thing in the world. He fell in fully clothed. Well, he comes up and grabs the side of the John boat, tries to swing his leg over, and he flips me out of the boat, and the boat just sinks. So now it's like 3 a.m, we're drunk, and we're floating down the river, holding onto the hull. The boat's flipped over, but it's still floating. Like the top of the, you know, the bottom of the boat is bobbing out of the water, and we're just floating with it. Down the river, like just this, like just on an endless drift, you know?
Right.
So we just float along like that. I can't figure out any plan to get us out of it. And then like after like 20 minutes or something, my sneakers start ticking the bottom of the river. It's like we're in a shallow point where we can touch. And I got to stand, and we dragged the boat over to the bank and tied it up to a tree. And had to walk like an hour back to my car, and I was like, by this point, the sun is coming up. We walk into my house, my wife's awake, she's a high school teacher at the time. We were like just dripping wet, like, that was pretty awful.
Oh my God.
It's funny
God.
Now, but.
Right. Well, we've had a semi-successful day out here with Mickey. We're on Island, what is it, Island?
Island Beach State Park.
Island Beach State Park. And we landed.
Jersey,
a, was that a schoolie? That was a schoolie.
Yeah.
A little bigger than a schoolie. In dirty Jersey, which looks about as pristine and beautiful as you can get. So there are some hidden secret places still left in the New York area.
Thanks so much, man.
No problem, dude.